Grace, did we celebrate our 2-year anniversary? We did? What did we do? Did you have me cake or something?
Yeah, I sent you cake. You loved it. It was great. It was delicious. You said it's the best cake you've ever had.
We did acknowledge it though. It was
Yeah,
like
we did.
15 episodes ago or something.
Yep.
What do you mean, yep? Like, what do you mean? What did we do? I don't even remember.
Do you want me to replay it for you or?
We did like the 100th episode. That was 21 ago.
Yeah. And then it was not long after that that we hit our 2 year.
Well, that's how math works. Yeah, 52 times 2 is 104. So, as I see it, yeah,
Very close.
it was 4 episodes after that, which yeah, isn't very long. 1 month, if you will.
Yes.
But
Sometimes.
it was a thing.
It was a thing.
Okay. I mean, it's too late to be a thing now, but I just was like, huh.
Yeah. We also saw each other last Monday. We had a show. And the Monday before that, we had a show.
Yeah, but they're insignificant.
And the Monday before that, we also had a show. I just.
This one's significant because it's a big word. What's like race car? You can say it both ways. What's that called?
I want to hear you try to say
Onomatopoeia.
it. Yeah.
Is that it? No.
No, it's not an onomatopoeia.
What's the
No.
word? Whatever.
Well,
Somebody smart can say something dumb on the comments. I don't know what the word is. That word doesn't need to take up space in my brain. So here I'm going to just start this show. I don't care what race car is backwards. Race car forwards. And
So,
mom.
yeah, mom. Mom is another one.
Dad.
Taco cat.
Taco cat, yeah.
It's a palindrome.
Pseudonym, palindrome.
It's not a pseudonym. It's a palindrome.
Palindrome. Thank you.
Pseudonym is like a nickname.
Well, lucky you, we are living in a palindrome right now. 1, 2, 1.
Nice. Good
That's
job.
gonna happen again in like 10 shows.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm not here. Okay, I'm ready now. Oh, Grace, we've talked about mental health on the show before. It's a heavily avoided topic because it's not very fun. But let's go ahead and ask Mr. Morgan, why do you run? All on episode 1, 2, 1. I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party. Welcome to the show, Grace.
Welcome to the show, Eric.
How was the weekend?
The weekend was super fun. We did tons of volunteering, so lots of cheering for all the runners at On the Rocks. And then I went mountain biking with Jason in the same park as On the Rocks. I definitely ate some rocks. And then did some hiking. That's about it. How about you?
I mean, as usual, not as action-packed as your weekend. You know, you do better than I do. I don't
Yeah,
know.
well,
Yeah.
it comes with the territory.
I got all my winter wood. Becky and I got all our winter wood, a lot of our winter wood stacked, which is part
How
of.
is winter wood different from, like, is there non-winter wood? Is there summer wood?
And that's camp. I mean, that'd be campfire wood.
Campfire wood. So how is campfire wood different from winter wood?
You don't heat with campfire wood. I mean, heat yourself, but winter wood is like heating the house. It's all hard.
Okay. So is there an actual difference between winter wood and campfire wood, or is
No.
it all just wood?
It's all good wood.
Why do you call it winter wood?
I don't really know. I've never caught it winter wood before in my life, so I'm glad you called me out on this.
Okay.
I apologize to everybody listening, all four of you, and the future three people that do tune in. It's not winter wood. It's just firewood. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You know, apology accepted, and I feel really good that we brought resolution to this issue.
But I digress. We got all that finally. First, you have to cut the wood down, the tree down. Then you have to probably split the wood. Then, depending on where you split it, you have to carry it to where you're going to stack it. Then you have to stack it. It's a thing. It's a pain in the butt. We like our firewood in the winter to heat with. So it's worth it, but it's a lot of work. And we spent, a day and a half doing that.
Is it big and heavy?
The wood?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yes.
The logs?
Big logs. Big.
Is it?
You have to split them.
Okay.
Wait. Oh, I'm knocking stuff over. No, I have a splitter that you just pull a
hand. You haven't heard the song called Log? You haven't heard of Log?
I'm not a song guy.
It's log. It's log. It's big. It's heavy. It's wood.
Okay. Let's go back to winter logs. Winter wood. It's good. All right. So that was my week. Okay. Stop. That was my weekend.
Okay.
Good weekend. Yep. 4th of July coming up. Extended weekend. Excited for that. That's about it. Cross country practice started already, so I had a whole 2 weeks off of not coaching kids from track to fall cross country. That's totally awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, here we are.
Now you're just rambling. Talk about our guest.
Well, he can talk about himself.
That's true.
All right. So we're talking about mental health. Grace, a lot of the stuff we talk on, like, I think I need to make clear, like, I love making fun of you.
Right.
I don't think you understand how much I love it. Like, it is one of my favorite pastimes. I like it more than winter wood. And it's fun. We like to joke around. Running's fun. We have great friends that are fun. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think we run a comedy show here. I mean, obviously I'm much funnier than you are. You are. You're like the sawdust of the show.
Absolutely.
But here we are.
You're the wood, I'm the sawdust.
Yeah. So, but anyway, the mental health part of it is something we've talked about before on the show several times, I believe. We had guests on. And it's a huge part of running and trail running and road running and running in circles and running anywhere. And because it's such a huge thing, it's fun to hear different people's stories. It's interesting. It's amazing how many people we know have stories. I would say the majority of people have some kind of mental health journey or story that are into running. And so it's cool that it's part of the sport, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So we have on, I'm going to bring him on the stage here, Brendan Morgan from Reading, PA. Now, we know Brendan from, he ran Dawn to Dusk to Dawn 24-hour track race with myself. Mm-hmm. I ran for 12 hours. This dude completed the 24 hours and got the 100 miles, which is amazing. Running around a quarter-mile track for 24 hours, I don't care what speed, it's hard.
That was an adventure. I'll give you that.
Yeah. So the fun part was like we were strangers when we first started the first loop of the track, and I was running at a pace that I think most of the time was a little faster than yours. So a quarter mile doesn't take long to start passing people. And so I got to see him and, you know, both give each other words of encouragement, I guess, a ton of times throughout that, at least my 12 hours. And I don't know. He's some people you click with. Grace, I've never clicked with you, you know?
Not yet. I'm still crossing my fingers that it's going to happen one day.
You should probably uncross them, I'll be honest with you.
Well, listen, when you're running in a shirt and a hat that says idiot runner, I have to start a conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, he instantly, asked about the idiot runner and, kind of got it, which is That's pretty cool. Like
asking Eric about himself is the way to go. So good.
Exactly. Yeah, I learned that early on.
All right, that's cute. You guys team up now. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I mean, so this dude, we didn't really get to even talk that much, but I, you know, through his social media and stuff, I learned that he had kind of a story of why he runs, and he was telling me about his upcoming races or runs and what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned Pennsylvania somewhere in the track on the track that day. I know that.
Yeah, that's obviously like the biggest one to date.
But I mean, we didn't really get a chance to know each other, but I think all three of us realized, like, with this running stuff especially, you kind of get to know people without even having to talk to them really quick. Like, there's a bond that's formed a lot of times with people. When you're out there, when you're in an ultra during 100 miles, maybe you're both experiencing low spots or you're helping somebody out of a spot. And before you know it, a couple weeks later, you guys are, you know, chatting on the internets and best friends. So that's what we like about this, Grace.
Oh, well, that's good to know. I'm going to get some friends out of this.
No.
Yeah. I think I think, you know, like Eric said, a lot of us struggle with mental health or have in the past or have some kind of story. And we really appreciate coming on to talk about it because it's not something that everybody's in a place to be able to talk about. And I think sharing is a great way for us to connect and realize that we're not all alone. So I want to take it back to the beginning. How did this journey start into running?
Well, running was just like the secondhand kind of part of it, mm-hmm. because it was about 4 years ago, I would say. Yeah, no, maybe, yeah, probably about 5 years ago during COVID. I lost over the course of like 2 years, I lost 60 pounds. So like I was 215 pounds at my heaviest. And then I got down to 155, and the journey kind of started there, but I started running in January of 2023.
Wow.
And I started it because, you know, I came across like all like, you know, the cliche, like David Goggins videos and all the videos about like do something you hate every day, but do it like you love mm-hmm. it. So then I started running January of 2023. And then when I hit February, I wanted to run 100 miles for that month. And I chose February because it's the shortest month of the year. So I had a lot less time to play with. And I hit, I believe, like 125 miles that month. Just awesome. Like the second month of running.
Yeah.
And then what really got me into running and how I learned that I could use it as like a platform and kind of like to push myself mentally was I did that David Goggins 4x4x48 challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the first real step into like branching how far the mind can go compared to how the body is. And it kind of just started steamrolling from there. Because I came home, I would say probably like May or June of 2023. And I told my fiance, I said, yeah, I just signed up for a marathon. And she's like, you haven't run any other race. I said, exactly. That's the best part. You just have to like swing for the fences and just
hope
for the best.
Yeah.
So how'd that marathon go?
That was the worst experience of my life.
Okay.
Like
which marathon was it?
That was the Philadelphia Marathon.
Okay, big crowd, okay.
Like, I can say, like, the 50-mile race that I did up in Pine Creek, Wellsboro,
uh-huh.
and then the 100-mile track was, I don't think it was as worse as that marathon was.
That's believable, yeah.
Because, like, I didn't understand really anything about the endurance part of it and, like, how to handle the later miles. So mm-hmm. when I hit mile 22, the wheels fell off. They rolled down the street. Oil started coming out of the car. Like it was bad.
All the stories of hitting the wall and the first time you hit it, you're like, oh, well, I'm not a superhero. I'm just like everybody else.
Well, I also, so for my first marathon, I wanted to get a sub 3.
Okay.
So I went out just
goal.
I went out way too hot. I went out with like this unrealistic goal of just like I'm gonna hit sub 3 hours in my first marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And like Eric said, it was going good until it didn't.
Yeah. That's good to have a goal though, you know, and you still finished it. That's great.
So what was your time, your finish time on that?
3:01:45.
Dude, listen to this. My first marathon was Wineglass, which is up here in Corning. Uh-huh. But my first marathon, guess what goal I had? Sub 3. Guess what my time was?
3:05.
3:01. It was 3:01. I was like, you gotta be kidding me.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Wow, you guys are like brothers.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, now I just need him to help coach me for a 200-mile race.
There we go.
No problem. You did 100. 200 is just twice the distance.
Okay, so yes. You did the Goggins Challenge. You did your first marathon. And so what's next? What came next in the process?
Well, after the Philly Marathon, I became obsessed to the point of like, I had it written on a piece of paper on my wall, sub 3. Like I became obsessed with trying to get that sub 3 because I was so close the first time. And then I did like my fiance probably at some point probably thought I was crazy. Cause like I was watching so many videos. I was doing so much, like taking so much mental notes of how to properly fuel, how to properly train, hydrate, you know, the whole 9 yards on how can I get to this sub 3 barrier. So the next race was the York Marathon in May of 2024.
Okay.
And I hit a 2:54.
At nice. That
so like I was obsessed from November 2023 till that point of how can I crack the barrier of the sub 3.
And I feel like that's a tough one too, because it is on crushed gravel. So it is going to affect your speed a little bit.
Oh, and it was like it rained the whole day before, and then it rained for the whole marathon, and it was just a sloppy, just mud fest.
Yeah, that's not surprising for that race. It's either the first hot day of the year or it rains the whole time. It's one of the two.
Yeah. And it was not, I mean, I trained outside no matter the conditions, so like the rain really wasn't bothering me. It was more so toward the end because of how the race is set up that like the half marathon people will like when I get to like the final like 3 miles of the race, I come across the course where all the half marathoners ran. So now the entire course is all like muddy and it's all like people's footprints. Yeah. So I'm trying to dodge everything. And
yeah,
that's the last thing I want to do when I'm 23 miles in.
Yeah.
So you hit your goal. Hold on, Grace. It's my turn.
Got it.
See, just one. You got into running to lose weight then?
No, I got into running after I lost all the weight.
Oh, okay.
Running was about 2 years after I started the weight loss journey.
Gotcha. And here we are.
And you hit your sub 3 hour goal. You gotta have another one after that. So
My main goal was Boston.
Okay.
That is the ultimate end goal for my marathon journey because it's like the, you know, the epitome of marathons.
Sure.
So in September, they came out and they had a 6:51 buffer on their marathon time. So instead of, for previous years, in order just to qualify or submit an application, you had to do under 3 hours.
Yeah.
But then they had so many people apply to the point that they had to do a cutoff. So they did, if you hit a 2:53:09 or slower, you didn't get in.
Yeah, I remember that year.
So then I missed
a lot of entrants.
So I missed it by a minute. And I was fuming. I was not happy.
Yeah.
So then I went back to the drawing board and it was either my next marathon was either sub 2:50 or die. honestly.
Hmm. And so,
I did the Jersey City Marathon actually like 3 weeks before that 100 miler, and I hit a 2:49.20.
Nice.
So if I don't get into Boston this year, I don't know how much more they want from me.
How old are you?
First
27. Yeah, I'm gonna have to pretty much give my firstborn for that.
Yeah,
you're in a really, really hard time.
A hard bracket.
Boston. I'm old. I'm 44, so it's like 3:15 for me. Which I'm blessed that. Like, I mean, I don't really run marathons anymore, but I could. I feel like I could do that pretty comfortably still, which is amazing because when I was in the 30s, it was same. Well, not same as you, but it was like three with the buffer or with the time added on that you had to be under it. It was still like sub three.
Yeah, but
I did the Boston thing and it's very, very, very cool.
I get once really like after I do the Boston Marathon, I'm probably going to take a break from marathons for a while. Because I want to start cracking the, like, really big, like, ultra scenes. Like, I would love to go do, like, the Arizona Monster 300. Nice. Like, I want to start cracking more into them. Or even try to do, like, an Ironman triathlon. Mm-hmm. But Boston has just been the number one goal. And until I race that race, there's really nothing that I want to do before I do that.
Yep. Well, you're running something big. When are you running across this freaking state?
November 8th.
November 8th, you're running across this state to raise awareness for mental health, basically, in a big old nutshell. So Let's get into the nitty-gritty of why Brendan Morgan wants to raise awareness for mental health. Not only that, this isn't the first time we've heard all of us have heard those words, trying to raise awareness for mental health. And I think that's because it seems to always be a challenge to make people aware of how big of a deal it is. And like, it's common and mm-hmm. not make it such of a elephant in the room type of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Lack of a better word. So I specifically asked you, I said, look, what's off limits? I don't want to cross lines when I talk to guests, especially somebody I don't know very much. You said everything's on the table. You're open book. You want to talk about it. So why don't you tell us your story of when things, I guess I would say when things went bad in your life, went a little dark for your life.
Well, the first memory of it and is when my dad passed away when I was 8 years old and I was in second grade. And it's very interesting to see how like pain kind of correlates with like the human mind, because like really the only memory I have of him was getting carried out of his bedroom on a stretcher downstairs. So like all the other like good memories and stuff kind of get thrown out the window when that's the main, like as soon as I think about my dad, the first thing I think about is him. And then like, obviously like I was, you know, 8 years old. So like, it didn't really like hit me as, you know, it would when you're older. Mm-hmm. And then my older brother became my role model kind of just by like default, just because, you know, he was big bro, you know what I mean? And we would always do stuff together. And then eventually, once I got into like middle school, and cause he was 4 years older than me. Mm-hmm. So he would obviously know, like he started like smoking pot and doing all that stuff. So that I started doing everything like with him, mm-hmm. but, like just strictly with him, just because, you know, he was my older brother. And then my mom was like, I got to give my mom all the credit in the world, because like, she was a superhero, you know, super mom, super dad, the whole nine yards. Like, she was raising three of us on her own.
Wow.
And she had one rule for us growing up, and that was just say we had to graduate high school. Mm-hmm. Like, she was very lenient with a lot of other things, but like, we just had to graduate. And my older brother was on the verge of not graduating. So then he got kicked out when he was a senior and I was in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. So he got kicked out. I believe it was for like a month and a half.
Wow.
And then he stopped going to school because nobody was there to make him go to school. So then my mom made him come back in. But then during the time he was gone, my younger brother and I were, you know, like we shared a room. So when he left, I took over my older brother's room. So when he eventually came back in the house, I moved to the basement. But then, you know, like all my stuff was still in his room. And I replay this night and this day in my head constantly. Because like when he came back to the house, him and I would usually, you know, like we would smoke in his room and, you know, talk about like Currency the Rapper because I was one of his favorite rappers.
Yeah.
And so May 8th, that night, I didn't talk to him that night, you know, whatever. I stayed downstairs to myself. And then May 9th, I go upstairs, you know, I take a shower. I go into the room, I get all my clothing mm-hmm. for school, and he's still in bed sleeping, and I didn't think anything of it because that's the last thing on my mind. So I get all my stuff, I go downstairs, I start getting dressed, and till this day, the scream that I heard my mom from upstairs is just, it's gut-wrenching. So then I immediately thought it was at the time my mom's boyfriend. I thought he like slipped in the shower and then got hurt. And then like she obviously was up there with him. And then I heard her on the phone with 911 and saying that it was her son. So I run upstairs to the room and that's when I realized that my brother overdosed. And then it's all started to go downhill because like I was 14 at the time.
Yeah.
And I was in eighth grade and it was, you know, May 9th. So it was like about a month before school ended. And then I went to high school. And then once you get to high school, you know, you get more access to like, you know, like drugs, alcohol, stuff mm-hmm. like that. And it started a downward spiral in that sense, because like I started to do a lot more drugs. I was drinking, you know, my mom would always give me a curfew and she's like, you got to be home by like 9 o'clock. And then I would come in at like 10:30, 11, and I'd make up some like bullshit reason as to why I'm late. But it was just doing that. And then it got to a point when I was in 10th grade where I tried to commit suicide.
Hmm.
So luckily, I obviously, you know, it didn't work out. And it's probably the greatest thing that has ever happened. But I then changed. I got pretty much completely sober in 11th grade. But then I kind of switched all my coping mechanisms from like drugs and alcohol to eating. That's when I gained, you know, the whole bunch of weight. And I never really processed the trauma that I had from the previous years.
Sure. That's a lot to process and a heavy load too with a family that's also grieving alongside you, you know?
That's why I got to give, I got to give my mom all the props in the world. Like she was mm-hmm. She was my mom. She was my dad. She was, you know, like my biggest supporter, like pretty much. And like, she comes to all my races now and it's great to see how excited she gets to see when I race and do all that, because it's like, who would have thought I would end up here. And I have the ability to use running for more than just running. Like mm-hmm. I said to Grace before the show started, like running is just it's just like the headline. You know what I mean? Like when you find out I ran a 100-mile race, it's like, oh my God, you ran 100 miles. And it's like, yeah. And then I can shift it to like why I do it and kind of bring people in, because it's like a, you don't come across people that run 100 miles.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very odd thing. And then when you find out about it and then you get to explain more of the situation and details about it, then you get to connect with people.
Yeah.
So after, let's see, you said you started gaining weight in what, 11th grade?
Yeah. Or
you started using food as your coping mechanism, I guess. Did you seek any other outside help on your own or after your brother's death? Or are you where you're at strictly on your own? I'm just curious.
Well, my mom took me to see a therapist back when I was probably a freshman, I would say. So I was like 15.
Mm-hmm.
And we went there for like a month or 2 months. And then the one day we walked in, you know, I was explaining how I felt. And then the therapist looked at me and asked, "Why are you here again?" Like completely not remembering the whole reason I came in the first place. So from like that point on, I just never seeked any like professional help, because I was just like, so I was seeing you for a month and then you completely forget the reason why I'm even here. So it was right. Like, I was like, I would just try to battle this stuff on my own.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a sad story that it happened like that. I personally think that, you know, seeing a therapist is something that a lot of us think makes you look weaker, or nobody wants to do it or is embarrassed by it. But honestly, talking to a third person that's not real, doesn't really have opinions on what you're saying or what you're talking about. They have opinions, but they don't go one way or the other. It should be looked at as a strength to be able to go and see it. That story sucks.
Listen, like I came out of it and I told my mom it and she gave me that look. She's like, "Are you serious?" I said, 100%. Like, I can't believe that's out of everything you could say. Like, you literally look at me and say, like, why are you here again? So like, you just completely deterred me from going to any therapist from that point on.
Right.
So, okay, here you are. You start using food as the coping mechanism. I assume you stayed clean and sober through that, other than junk food. What was the turning point with the weight loss? What triggered that?
So I have to thank, you know, some of like my childhood friends and everything, because everybody used to say I was fat. And, you know, I used to like kind of just like brush it off and whatever. And then like the one day I got out of the shower and I was looking in the mirror and I was like, you know, they're right. I said, I am fat. And I was like, I have to figure out how to change this. And I have to do something about it, because at the end of the day, nobody else is going to do it for me. So I have to figure out how to lose all this weight.
So would you be comfortable saying now that running has become your coping mechanism?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think like it's a great tool, because I get the ability to go out on my own for, you know, how, like, I use it as like a control aspect, because obviously I've had a lot of pain and stuff in my life that I was never in control of that pain. But now when I go run, I can control every single aspect of the pain that I'm in. Like, I could have done that track race with Eric, and I could have stopped at mile 50 and nobody would have said anything, because it was like, oh, well, you still ran 50 miles and I could have stopped when it started to hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in complete control of how much pain I'm in, how long it lasts, how severe is it. And I think that's kind of what I love most about running mm-hmm. is that I'm in full control of everything that happens.
Yeah, I would agree with that, I guess.
Yeah. And I've heard people say before, I've heard this conversation back and forth about, you know, running is therapy and running really isn't therapy. You can't replace real therapy, but running is therapeutic.
Yeah.
I think that is 100% true. Running is therapeutic, at least for most people, you know, for some people, I'm sure it's not, but at least for most of us, it is therapeutic.
Well, it's also it also gives you that dopamine fix of seeing what you thought was impossible. Like when I first started running, if you would have told me I would run 100 miles in 23 hours, I would have looked at you and said, you're absolutely nuts. There's no way I can run 100 miles.
Yeah.
But yet here we are. So it gives you that that dopamine fix, and it gives you that mindset of I can achieve stuff that when I set my mind to it, and that I can I'm worthy of, you know, going out and running and trying to prove to myself that mm-hmm. I can do all these things.
Yeah. Isn't it just that that reaffirmation to nobody else but yourself? You know, you're not proving it to anybody else, but just proving to yourself, I can do hard things. I've done hard things before. I've been through really hard things, and now I can do hard things. And by the way, you can too. I think that's such a powerful message. And
that's what I want to show people is that I'm mm-hmm. not, you know, I was never a D1 athlete in middle school or high school. Like I was never the athletic kid. I was never, you know, the kid that was good at sports, but now now I can do all these things just by, you know, the hard work and the dedication and the time that I've mm-hmm. put in. I'm able to do these things.
And I think that's one of the things that I love about running the most is that it collects such a diverse group of people, where there's some people who run because they come from all different stereotypes, right? There's the stereotype of the military vet. There's a stereotype of the hippie that just wants to be on the trail for 6 months. You know, there's these different stereotypes. And what I grew up with in the 90s, the cross country kids, they were all pretty smart and pretty wealthy. And I just, there was never in a million years was I going to be one of those kids. Cause I was pretty smart, but not wealthy at all. That was not my crowd at all. But that's an old stereotype, you know? And now we realize that running brings together all different types of people from all different backgrounds. And I'm really glad that you're here being such a great steward of the person who went through some shit and maybe made some choices that they wouldn't make the same ones today. But you're still here and you're still living and experiencing and making the most of this little microcosm that we have and trying to inspire others. And I think that's the greatest gift that any of us can give.
Yeah. And I said to Eric immediately during that race, I was listen, you guys are inspiring me, because it's I know, it was my first time. I've never gone more than 50 miles. So it was my first time ever branching above that. And I'm over here watching, you know, Eric compete, who has so many, you know, 50 milers, 50Ks, 100 miles under his belt. And, his crew member was Kaylee. Are you serious? Yeah. And then I'm watching, that's his crew chief. And I'm oh my God. And then I'm running with Pete, and then I'm running with Gags, and then I'm running with all these other guys who are trying to compete for the track team. And it was just motivating to me that I'm on the same track as all these guys.
Yeah. And it's a cool sport in that way. Yeah.
I'm on this track and I was picking their minds. I was trying to get as mm-hmm. much information out of them as I can. Because they obviously know what it's like to do that distance, and they know what it's like to, you know, race for that long period of time. And I've never done a race longer than 9 hours.
Mm-hmm. It's a wild sport where, you know, if you play pickup basketball, you're never going to be in the NBA. You're never going to play with those same players. But if you're in running, you will run in the exact same race as some very, very talented athletes. We're all athletes.
We're all athletes. And the thing, because I've been there, exactly what you're saying. Yeah. But I have some of my closest friends right now. Or when I first saw them at a race, like you're talking about, I was like, whoa, that's that person. Like, I'm not even going to fanboy. Like, I don't even deserve to go over there and shake their hand. Like, I can't believe that's who that is.
Yeah.
We're all normal people. Like, yes, there's celebrities and all that. Like, that's different. But this running thing, you know, we're all just people running for our own reasons.
Yeah. That's why I had to like figure out a way to branch the conversation with you. And that's why like your idiot runner hat and shirt was like the perfect way I could branch this conversation.
Yeah.
Because the only thing I said to Eric when I met him was I ran behind him because he had the idiot runner logo on the back. And I just said, mm-hmm. That's an awesome tank top. And I just kept running. That was the only thing I said to him.
That's great.
No, it's crazy. Well, let's, I hate to mess up conversation, but let's transition to what your November plan is here and what you're trying to achieve here. You're doing something big to raise awareness for mental health, right?
Yeah.
What's the plan? What are you doing?
So I'm going to run 335 miles across Pennsylvania in 6 days.
What's your route?
I believe it's Route 30. I don't know. I was kind of messing with it on the Coros app and kind of put into like, how can I get across from like this edge of Pennsylvania to this edge of Pennsylvania?
Okay.
Walking, and the route, whatever Coros came up with, is what I'm going to follow. So I have a feeling it's going to be more than 335 just because of like, you know, like roads being closed.
Yeah.
Knowing my luck, I'm going to get to a road and it's like, you can't run on this road. And
well, yeah. You always have Route 6 up here. Rhoda Stoker, good friend.
Rhoda did Route 6, so that's an option. If you end up on Route 30, I'm just a couple miles away. So
I know
it can help you out with route planning.
Because I know, like I was working with Fleet Feet West Reading. I've been talking with Thomas and, you know, Jason and everybody. And we kind of designed the route to kind of go along like Penn Ave.
Mm-hmm.
So like when I reach like West Reading area, hopefully like we can get, because since I'm from this area, we can get people to come out for like a run club around the same time that I am coming through the city.
Yeah.
To kind of just bring more support and awareness to the entire mission.
Yeah.
I mean, by that point, I'm probably going to be cooked. It's probably going to be 200 plus miles, and this is not.
We can get all kinds of support all along the route, so you'll have to let us know what it is. There's a Fleet Feet here in York as well,
and that's what I was saying to everybody. I was like, I wish everybody would come out and run in it because, like the chances of when you see me, I'm not going to be fast. It's going to be a very slow pace. I'm kind of just going to be chugging along, just.
Yep.
Slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Yep.
So is there anything you want to drop as far as how anybody can contribute is there a certain group for mental awareness that you're running behind or what?
Yeah, I have a foundation that I have linked in my Instagram bio for it. And I mean, obviously, like if, you know, like it kind of goes like I was going to get like t-shirts and stuff made. And like, if you buy t-shirts, obviously like money will go to like the cause or like, you know, to help out with like funding for it all. But it's probably just be the cause because I don't want to have people help pay money to do the run. I'd rather have it toward the cause. Like I can cover all the financial stuff I have to do for the run. I don't really want to have people chip into that.
Right. Yeah,
you can probably get some donations too. So
very cool.
So you're great. starting on the west side, ending on the east side then, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm putting it on my calendar. This is what's happening. I'm excited.
It's going to be great. I mean, we have an RV. So I don't know if I'm going to treat it like I would a 300-mile race where I kind of just run throughout the entire day and night and kind of rest when I'm needed. Because, like, my first original plan was to do it, like, 12 hours on and 12 hours off.
Mm-hmm.
And because, like, if I would do 12 hours on, I would try to get, like, 55, 60 miles in that 12 hours. That's what it's going to average out to. And right. then I would use the other 12 hours to, you know, like, get a massage, eat,
yeah,
and all that stuff. But I feel like the whole point of me doing it is to show people that no matter the pain that you're in, like, mentally wise, like, what I'm doing doesn't compare to the mental pain that millions of people struggle with. Because, like I said before, like, no matter the pain that I come into during this run, it's all just temporary. Like, as soon as I stop running and I go lay down in the RV, the pain stops. But all the mental pain that, you know, millions of people go through, that pain never stops until either you get help or something bad happens. And that's the sad reality of what the mental health battle is. And that's kind of what I want to show, is like these people aren't alone.
Yeah.
And even now till this day, like, I struggle with some decisions and stuff that I have to make. Like, I was going to do a 24 hour race in August. And my goal was to hit 120 miles because the course record was 116. But it was like, it's like a 3.75-mile loop. So in order for me to break the record, I had to do a whole nother loop. So I would have to do 120 miles.
Mm-hmm.
But my ankle right now is just not up where I need it to be. So I had to defer the race till next August. And, like, just that little thing has just been eating me alive for the last week. Just because I can't do this race, and it's still – like, I know to a lot of people it might not be that big of a deal, but to me it's a huge deal because it just gives me another opportunity to try to put the message for, like, the mental health across, and then, like, meet new people and then challenge myself in the process.
Yeah, and this is how we focus our energy. This is how we, you know, like, cope with the day-to-day and, like, traffic and all that. Like, all of that's okay, and you know, the person at the bank who's not having a good day and maybe should have been a little nicer, but that's okay. Like, so we focus our energy is, like, planning for the next race, you know. it always sucks when plans change.
Like, I realistically, if I, like, me a year ago, I would 100% have done this race in August, whether my ankle would feel right or not.
Mm-hmm.
I have come a long way with, you know, learning and stuff about the sport, and with the Chicago Marathon in October and the run across Pennsylvania in November, I figured I should not try to risk it for a race that I didn't, like, I only signed up for this race after I did the Dawn to Dusk. So this race wasn't really on my radar at all throughout the year.
Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
And you did have some love, some messages coming in from Fleet and Fleet Feet in West Reading.
Listen, those are my guys, man.
Yeah.
I try to recommend them as much as I can. I've had some people, you know, go into their store recently and look at shoes and get shoes. Like, I will always recommend them to everybody. They've been nothing but very supportive and helpful to me for my run. And plus, you know, Thomas is an absolute psychopath when it comes to running. So I get to pick his mind.
We need some of those out there, you know, to help us with choices.
He did the race was called the Old 6 Day. It was a 6 day race around a track. Mm-hmm. So like he made what I did just look like completely just
right.
I did 24 hours. This man ran 6 days around a track.
Yeah. I remember doing Conquer the Wall the first time, which is a 47 hour, and talking to people who do 6 day races while I was going around a 2 mile loop. I was talking to people who do that on a track for 6 days.
Yeah.
There's always something different. Crazier.
That's different.
It is. That's wild. Well, I'm very excited for you for this adventure that you're going to go on, the people you're going to meet, the people you're going to inspire. You inspire me. You inspire Eric. You inspire everybody who's listening. I can't wait to see what happens. And we're going to have you on.
Afterwards. I was going to say, can we lock you in now right after your Pennsylvania journey?
Listen, yeah, I mean, it's more up to you guys. I mean, I'm just like, you know, some little nobody from Reading, Pennsylvania. So the fact that you guys want to get me on your podcast, that's fine with me.
Hey, you're going to create a story. We like hearing stories.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's all about. So. Yep. Well, go ahead, Grace.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same thing that Eric is going to say, which is we really appreciate you coming on and sharing because, like you said, you know, you're not alone. People out there listening are not alone. We're all in this together, and we're going to be all right.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing, Grace. Thanks for stealing my thunder, as always.
You're welcome.
Thank you for opening up and sharing everything you did with us. I think it's important that anybody that watches this show, whether it's right now or on Spotify or anything else, that you share this episode with a lot of people because you don't always know who is going through a hard time, whether it's something that we might think is silly and simple or something that's really serious that they've kept to themselves the whole life, whatever it may be. But it's always good to hear somebody's perspective that's gone through some pretty hard shit and came out good, amazing on the other side. Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you.
And amazing. I fully expect to remain your friend in the future. I hope we can connect at a race or at least a run. You'll have to come up for an idiot race at some point when you're not running across Pennsylvania.
Well, listen, when and where? When's the next race?
2 weeks.
What day?
Saturday.
What is that, the 12th?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what time? Because I have my fiance actually signed up for her first 5K.
That's exciting.
That's more important. But look,
what's her name?
Delana.
Delana.
Yeah.
You're gonna do awesome, Delana.
So she signed up for her first 5K in 2 weeks.
And nice.
Like I have a couple buddies and they're like, yo, so are you gonna do like a 17-minute 5K? I said, oh no. I said, I'm running it with her. I said, like, the fact that she wants to go out and do it, I'm fully supporting it. I'll do an hour and a half 5K if I need to.
That's right. Well, if you miss Eric's, you can come to my race. It's in August 16th. And there have been some folks out your way who've come over to it. You just go up and down a ski slope for a few hours.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. That's 2 days before my birthday, so I can get some birthday miles in.
There you go.
Yeah, we do 2 idiot races a year up here. So the next one will be in January.
How long are your races?
This one's 10 hours.
It depends.
It's a 4 mile.
He makes up different rules every time. Yeah. So you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because he likes to mess with everybody.
What I want to know is I did the Pine Creek Challenge last September. Where was Eric at during that?
That rail trail.
Rail trails are hard.
I ran the full length of that stinking rail trail by myself. I don't know. Maybe someday.
Listen, that stuff
is tough.
I don't think I would go back to Pine Creek. I mean, if I go back, it's obviously for the 100, and that's kind of I don't even know if I really want to do that.
Yeah. There's so many fun things to do.
Well, there's like what Eric said about that Dawn to Dusk, like it was going so well for me until it didn't. And it got like, I would say at like, I was good all the way up until mile 75 and like mile 75 hit. And I just could not believe that one person's legs could feel the way that mine were feeling.
Yeah.
And then it was great because when I hit mile 80, I felt like I was brand new and I just started the race and I was knocked. I knocked off the next 10 miles perfectly fine. And then I hit
beast yourself, right?
And then I hit 91 and it was back to, you know, everything fell apart.
Yeah. Well, you got her done.
Well, I didn't know how to pace. I didn't know how to pace it. It was a 100-mile race. My first time.
Well, you did a great job from what I saw. Slow and steady wins the race.
Yep.
Thank you. So I took inspiration from you guys.
Yeah. Anyway, Brandon, thanks so much for being on the show. We look forward to watching your adventure, seeing how your adventure plays out and seeing everything you do. We'll be in touch and all that stuff.
Eric has a hard time with compliments. Eric, you're so amazing. You're so inspiring.
Oh, thanks. Brandon, what are you doing this weekend?
This weekend? I would say Pius going on maybe one or two runs with my fiance, try to get her ready for the 5K next week.
Nice. Let me know.
Oh, I do. I do have a 21-mile run on Friday with one guy at this local running club for his birthday. He's turning 32, so he wants to do a 32-kilometer run. I try to convince him and say to do a 32-mile run, but he wanted to do the kilometer, so.
Yeah. We're not in Canada.
Got to have time for tacos afterwards, you know?
Yeah, so that's probably what I'd do on Friday.
What about you, Grace? What are you doing?
What am I doing? Local 5-miler for the 4th of July. Going to do some loops with a friend who's doing the Yeti Challenge. Gina's doing the Yeti Challenge. And I don't know what else. I'm so far behind on yard work. Like, it needs to happen.
You got to get your winter wood ready.
I need to get my winter wood ready. I have not done that yet.
Yeah.
And there's winter wood just all over the place. It's a big mess. I need to organize the wood. I need to catalog the wood. Mm-hmm. We need to season the wood.
Exactly.
What are you doing, Eric, this weekend?
I don't know. No real huge plans. Just a chill holiday weekend. Running.
That sounds like you. Nothing huge. You know?
Good. How about you come down for the 21-mile run on Friday?
Is this like through Reading?
It's at Grings Mill. I think he said it's 4.5 miles out, 4.5 miles back.
Fine.
I think it's something like that.
Like so, you're doing out and backs?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, we're starting at 5:30 in the morning, so I know it'll be a pretty early wake up call for you.
Yeah, it's all right. I don't know. I'll think about it. I do have off Friday, so you never know.
I think it's he asked because he was like, yeah, I'm doing this. Now I don't know who's gonna show up, and I would feel bad if he did it by himself. So
yeah,
I'll go.
Nice.
Awesome.
I don't need an excuse to run.
Exactly.
All right, Grace, finish us off here. Would you take us out? End it.
All righty, kids. It's bedtime. So make sure that you like the show and that you share it. And then you tune in every Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time to hear even more amazing stories from awesome people and to hear all about Eric's Winterwood. Thank you for listening today on the YouTubes and the Facebooks and the Spotify's and feed that algorithm monster, please and thank you. And that's it.
All right, take us out.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you.